Yeah, my name is Ginger Richards, and I was particularly taken, Sharon, by your comments around the common interests that workers and clients have. As a welfare worker and an activist in the BCGEU, it's something that we've been working on as workers for a number of years, particularly in the Ministry of Human Resources, because of the inherent contradictions between what we do and the situation for clients. It's been quite a struggle. But I think we've had some success over the years, and it's a concept that to me seems so basic, but it also, you know, it's kind of a revolutionary concept in many ways. But it should be quite clear that when you have an economy, we have a system where you have good social programs, decent welfare rates, and good social programs means good jobs, then you're also going to have, if you have good social programs, then the standard of living is that much higher, because you have good jobs, good paying jobs, that kind of thing. So this is the kind of thing we've been trying to educate our members around. And we've also tried to get the anti-poverty movement to recognize that the workers are not necessarily the problem, that it is a struggle to educate the people that work in welfare, but it can be done. We do have common interests, and when we fight together, we will be that much stronger. So I really appreciate what you said, because it's something that's very, very near and dear to my heart. So thank you.
Ginger, I wish that there were more workers that we knew were like you. It's appalling to me that we all know your name and we don't know 50 others.
Hi, is that on? My name is Karen Dean. I work with the Hospital Employees Union and have spent a lot of time in the last couple of years, as you can imagine, thinking about the whys and wherefores of this government's policies, and in particular its attack on women and women's work. And what struck me listening to all of you today, and I really want to thank you, that was great. It's always the total of all of the individual that make the message, and that was really interesting. It really struck me that we can't find a place between the rage and the despair. That place is hope that we need, because that's how we're going to start to move forward. We can't find that place until we can find a common way to describe it that brings us together instead of apart. And a phrase struck me near the end of the presentations, and that was that our enemies are seeking to make poverty Canada's new apartheid. Now just think about that for a minute. What was the goal of apartheid in South Africa? It wasn't racially motivated in its end. Its end was profit, obscene profit on the back of super exploitation. And the apartheid system supported the ability to do that. And maintaining it was critical. And I'm going to suggest that the reason that they have needed to convince us that we need a deeper level of poverty in Canada is in order to ensure those obscene levels of profit and exploitation of all of us. And I think if we start to define what's happening to workers, to women, to people on welfare, to kids, as being about we demand an end to poverty, then we find our place of unity. And we demand as well an age of entitlement again, because you always need a positive expression in order to move. And, you know, I want to tell you, you know, I spend my days and my nights trying to figure out how to get people to act in their own behalf who are scared. And I spend a lot of time talking to workers who are losing their jobs because of a government act that says we can de-unionize you in a moment. We can take your job and give it to that paper company right there, which is the same company you work for, but now you're non-union and you don't have a contract anymore. This government passed a law like that applies to healthcare just a few months ago. so that unionizing is no longer going to be a legal experience. Workers are blaming workers. Workers who make a mere women who finally were starting to have their work valued and getting $17 and $18 an hour, which, by the way, you push a broom in a mill, you make $22. But here we're talking about how women who clean up after body fluids are being paid too much. And we're accepting it. And those women are blaming the women who are coming in, mostly, primarily immigrant women, newer immigrant women, because a lot of our women doing these jobs in our membership are women of color. They're blaming newer immigrant women who are so desperate they're coming in and accepting those jobs at $8 and $10 and $12 an hour with no benefits. And they want to blame those workers and not the multinational corporations and our government who are enabling them. But if we start to think of poverty as Canada's new apartheid, I think we can find a place to start to build unity in fighting for entitlement. Thanks.
I talked to the law firm today and we got the decision from the Supreme Court of Canada. Except for they tell the law firm today, this coming down next Thursday, I was sexually assaulted and beaten by that wonderful psychiatrist. That did harmed a lot of other women, but they just punk it on the internet at 10 o'clock with my name, Thursday. I thought, gee, this is kind of like rape. whatever. But, I was having a nap, so I kind of missed part of the meeting, but I don't know why I was so give up with that. But I guess why I was decided to speak was just over the last Christmas, I sort of came to terms with losing 15 years going through court of basically my childbearing years, and the previous 10 years being beaten by this doctor, so basically 20 to 45. That's me. But then the other women that I know from support groups, there's so many that are like so ashamed of what happened to them, and it's like, so it's like, well, you're only healed if you never speak about it, and why are you talking about it, and why would you bring it up? Or else they have agoraphobia, so they're in their little apartments, you know. I don't have agoraphobia. I take medication to leave my apartment. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I just I want a voice for all the women who are fighting in court, and it seems so much of the time pointless. And it scares me what happens if the decision next week is whether he gets his fifth appeal. Like, and I guess, and just sort of to finish it off, the way it works out is he had so much money to burn, he actually, a few months ago, he asked my lawyer, who had asked me if it was okay if he took the, when we finally won the case, if he could use that as a guarantee to subdivide his property to make money. And I'm like, well, no, he can go fuck himself. And my lawyer said, well, that was kind of my idea, but I have to ask you, but he, you know, because the man ran out of money fighting against the women who he beat and raped and whatever. Thanks for listening.
I have a couple of questions. The first one is, I'll just say them to you and then you can split them up. The first one, when you're talking about direct action, about companies and governments, what do you mean? What is it that you want to achieve, particularly if you're thinking about the ones that have been successful in the past? And the second question comes from being a city employee. I have a part-time job with the City of Vancouver as a youth worker. And I was wondering what you thought about going after municipal government for sharing the wealth.
I'm going to ask the panelists to respond, but I've got a note here that says the children are coming back from childcare now, so I'm assuming some people are going to have to be leaving. Okay. Okay. Does somebody want to respond to that last question? Or two questions.
I'll pick up on the direct action one, for starters. I use the expression to mean not, not a protest rally, not a petition, not a request, not a lobby, but the kind of action that we designed which directly takes whatever power we're talking about. So in this case, that we feed the hungry and that we do that by taking food wherever it is and getting it to where it needs to be. And I think there are very many kinds of direct action. Some of them effectively solve the problem. Others of them just interfere with power enough that the other side starts to negotiate with you. And I think, you know, we need to try a number of things. I was taking up the point that somebody had raised at the mic, that we need to be a problem. We need to be in the way. We don't have anything happening on our side that makes the other side make the concession. And so, you know, I dream in Vancouver of interfering with the transport. I dream of having the dock workers back on my side and interfering with something that's happening with ships. I dream of, you know, it's partly because I know that there have been wonderful actions that did that. And I dream of blocking the bridges because it's Vancouver. I just dream of blocking the bridges. Absolutely. Well, I mean, you got to think about what have we got to work with, right? I'm not... Lose? We got a lot to lose. No, we got a lot to lose. But that's the point, I guess. We've got a lot to lose, and that's what we should be using. That's the privilege we've got. So that's what I meant by direct action.
And I think it's also, you know, when I think about some of the direct actions, we need to be knowing in the moment when we need to be not agreeing to be complicit. And those are some, you know, they don't often feel as direct, but they can lead to some pretty profound changes if everybody hangs together on resisting a decision. Whether it's, you know, in our area, it's been things like trying to resist some of the security checks that are happening, trying to resist agreeing to more jails, some of those sorts of things. But so I think there's different ways. But I'd like to also talk about municipal. I think I'm interested in how the Vancouver, whatever, experiment is unfolding with the new government, because across the country, Vancouver was looked to say, okay, now we're going to have a more responsive municipal government. You know, pardon me, because I am, as you know, when I visit my maritime family, say a CFA, I come from away, so I don't really know exactly what's happening, but I don't see much changing in this city with a new government. And it's true that there's more offloading of responsibility federally to provincially to municipally and on to the people. And I think where the responsibility needs to be held is at those, you know, at the levels that we're too often holding the person next to us or the person closest to the issue responsible. And I think some of what we need to do is be holding everybody's feet to the fire, including our own, and hence the, you know, quoting back of putting our own paychecks at risk. But I think the other area that I feel like we need to be working harder at articulating is what we're seeing when we see a little bit being offered here and then being encouraged. I think many people have talked about it tonight, being encouraged to then race after and vilify that group. And I think, you know, hanging together in all of these struggles is going to be really important. And I'm not seeing it. I'm not sure how to achieve it, but I do know that when we talk about some of these issues, as Lee said, it's not the public who's, it's not the people we're talking to in the community, it's not the person you'll talk to on the street, it's not the person who comes to the forum here or to other fora who's interested in hearing about these issues, and it's not, you know, the person who's running the little grocery store who's supporting this. So I think the interest is that also, I think we have to start doing that consciousness raising in a very direct way as well at every level and every sphere possible. So I don't, I think that's.
Well, I wasn't sure if people were still talking.
Sorry. I guess, you know, I'm getting older and I remember the past and what worked back then. And maybe I'm lazy too. But when Lee was talking about stopping transportation, that's always been something to me that seemed, you know, a really easy, direct, not that anything is easy, but a fairly simple to plan direct action. And yes, we do have bridges here, and if you want to interfere with, and I know it pisses off the people who have to get to work, who are not necessarily oppressors, but it really is effective to stop transportation. And sitting down, a sit-down strike, a sit-in, can really be disruptive. And it's so simple. But I think what's happening here is not just happening here, as we all know. It's happening everywhere, everywhere. But everywhere across Canada, if it hasn't already, you know, the cuts are coming. And so I think women need to unite across Canada and have these, you know, some sort of direct action like a sit-in to stop transportation, but have it coordinated to be happening in major cities everywhere across Canada. That's my idea.